It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey folks, what's going on? Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. We are the one podcast here on the web talking daily fantasy sports every single day for you, and we're going to jump into that just in a moment. Of course, my name is Dan Bach. Great to be with you. Might know me better as DB730 all around the daily fantasy landscape, and lots of good stuff coming on today's podcast. Obviously, we'll talk some NBA and college basketball and discuss the games coming up tonight, so help you put your rosters together. But we got to start off talking some Super Bowl. Of course, last night, yesterday, might be a little bit slower today after your Super Bowl parties and whatnot. I'm sure lots of people like myself making the trip out to Starbucks to kind of make yourself feel a little bit better. But the game itself was kind of a snoozer. Maybe to the football purist, it was a great game. But to me, lack of turnovers, lack of scoring, Madonna at halftime. I mean, I don't know. It was not that great of a game. The second half of the fourth quarter, it was a totally different story. That really was an exciting ending. But of course, if you don't know, I actually won a pair of Super Bowl tickets on Daily Joust. I was the winner of their Super Joust 1 contest, and the winner won a pair of Super Bowl tickets. And people were asking me, you're going to go to the game, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity. And I tell you, would you really have rather gone to that football game or had $5,000 cash in your pocket? I took the cash, and I'll tell you what, it was the best decision I ever made. Now, if that game went like double overtime and had some crazy scoring going on left and right, yeah, maybe I would have regretted a little bit. But when I'm hearing that they were literally charging like $600 to park a car close to the stadium, forget about it. You know, the $5,000 cash was nice, but think of all the extra money you have to spend when you're there. I mean, I think I saw they had shrimp cocktails for like $30 at the Super Bowl. Shrimp cocktails. You know how cheap shrimp is? $30 for a shrimp cocktail? It's nuts. So I'm not sad that I didn't go to the game. And people always ask, you know, who is your favorite team? And I really don't have a favorite team. I've moved around so much from Chicago to Ohio to Alabama to Florida. So, you know, yeah, I live in Jacksonville. I guess I like the Jaguars. But when you get so entrenched in daily fantasy, that's really the teams you care about. But nonetheless, no disappointment on my end that I didn't go to the Super Bowl. But props going out to the Giants for winning. Patriots had their chances to win, even cover that point spread. But that drop pass late in the fourth quarter by Welker, it was a bad pass by Brady, but he still should have caught it, and he didn't. And I think we have a different outcome if he makes that catch. But the one thing I want to talk about, which was amazing to actually see, and that's Bill Belichick showing that even though they lost the game, he is still so much smarter than all the other coaches out there. And what I'm talking about is the last few plays of the game where the Giants had the ball on about the, what, 6-yard line, 7-yard line maybe it was, and the defense actually let New England score. And it was one of those situations where all of us who have played like Madden over the years knows, you know, when you get late into a ball game, you just want to let your opponent score so you can get the ball back and try to score yourself. Because the bottom line is, he's going to make a 20-yard field goal, 25-yard field goal, probably 95 times out of 100. But Tom Brady leading the team down the field for a touchdown score, I'd say is probably about 50-50 whether that's going to happen. So I'd rather take my chances with Brady. That's exactly what they did. They got the ball back. And at that point, I was actually cheering for the Patriots. I really didn't have a rooting interest in the game. I just wanted to see somebody actually use their head in that situation rather than say, oh, we're going to try and block the kick, which never works. Or maybe he'll shank the kick. And, you know, Billy Cundiff, that's a totally different situation. That was a longer field goal and a very crappy kicker. Now, Lawrence Tynes isn't a great kicker, but he's actually made clutch kicks, and anything inside of like 30 yards, come on, that's about a gimme. So the fact that he let him score, I love that coaching decision. It didn't end up working in the end because Brady couldn't lead the team down the field, but they had their chances even on that drive. Some drop passes, some situations that didn't work out, and even the Hail Mary was exciting. I mean, it was a good pass. They got the deflection. Gronkowski just couldn't get there. And I'm not going to make some excuse like, oh, his foot cost him the chance to make that catch. Now, you know, those things are, you know, maybe he'll hit 2 out of 10 on a Hail Mary like that. Maybe. Probably more like 1 out of 10. But props to Belichick for actually doing that. From a strategy point of view, so many coaches don't look at it from that point of view. Always give yourself a chance to win. And Brady, more times than not, is going to give you a better chance than Tynes missing the kick. So good job by him with that. But besides that, like I said, snoozer of a game. Madonna at halftime. Well, you know, this is the thing I found. Older people thought Madonna was awesome. They're like, man, she was so good. And then you look at younger people, they're like, what the hell was that? What's this grandma doing, you know, doing cartwheels out there for? For me, I'm kind of in the middle. Like, to me, some of the old songs she did, yeah, you know, kind of brings back some memories. But the bottom line is the NFL, they try to go safe. They try to go with these people in their mid to upper 50s or 60s, whether it's Springsteen or Tom Petty or Madonna. But the bottom line is the second you bring in that controversial person, what are they going to do? They're going to flip the bird and drop the S-bomb. And that's exactly what happened last night at the halftime with, you know, some artist named MIA. I mean, I've never heard of her. I mean, I guess I'm getting old. I'm in my, you know, young 30s, but I don't listen to rap music like I guess I used to. But nonetheless, apparently, you know, she flipped the bird. And I knew something was off because I noticed that NBC tried to blur something out, but they were definitely too late in doing so. So I just kind of got a good chuckle out of that because, you know, they try to be so protective and make sure that they don't have another Janet Jackson part two. And believe me, nobody wanted to see Madonna's tatas, that's for sure. But how about the old lady almost falling off the back of the stage? Was that not hilarious? I was, even though it's kind of mean to say, like, I wanted to see her fall, I just thought it would be kind of funny to see it happen. And she almost did it. But even the stumble itself was pretty funny. But all in all, again, did she lip sync that thing? Probably. I don't know. I wasn't there. I always hate lip syncing. It's like the most pointless thing ever. Like, I really want to watch Madonna dance around. No, you want to watch her sing live. So why do you lip sync in this situation? Just one of those things that bother me. So enough about the Super Bowl. We're done with football. No more football for us in Daily Fantasy until probably, I guess, preseason. I don't know if any sites are going to run some preseason, but we've got that. And then, of course, college football, I'm sure, is going to be everywhere next season. So bye-bye football. And like we always tell you here, let's stop talking about the past and go to the future. And the future is NBA basketball. Let's hit it. Okay, we got 10 games on the schedule tonight in the NBA. Let's start it off with the Magic. They play host to the Clippers. Should be a pretty interesting game here, at least a fun game. Two teams which have really had their ups and downs, mostly, you know, ups for the Clippers. They've had a great season, 14-7, but they're only 4-4 on the road, so I think they could have a tough time here with the Magic, who has seemed to have righted the ship the last couple games. Dwight Howard, last time out against the Clippers, 22 points, 14 rebounds. He's always a solid start. It's pretty much a no-brainer. Blake Griffin, 18-14 last year against Orlando on average, so another guy who's really played well of late. Chris Paul had probably his worst game of the season last outing. Didn't play much in the fourth quarter. I think he only scored 2 points. I think he'll probably rebound and have a nice game against Orlando. Jameer Nelson still out for Orlando. If you're looking for that cheap option at the point guard position, Chris Duhon, he's not flashy, but he'll get you anywhere from 15 to 20 fantasy points. And for the price, not a bad guy to consider if you want to load up on some of the stars. The 76ers play host to Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. Of course, Kobe is from Philly, and you'd think he'd do pretty well against them, but he struggled shooting in his last two games, and in fact, his last game against the 76ers, he only went for 9 points. Keep an eye out on the lineups here for tonight. Is Elton Brand going to start or not? He was out the last game. Nikola Vujicic, I'm not sure if you pronounced that right, but he's a cheap option for the 76ers. But like I always mention here on this podcast, that team is just too deep. It's impossible to know who on the 76ers is going to have a big game night in, night out, so I try to avoid them. As for the Lakers, obviously Kobe, you have to think he's going to turn it around. Andrew Bynum has been rock solid, and especially against that soft interior of the 76ers, he might have a nice game. tonight. Raptors and Wizards, crap versus crap. They just played like two games ago, and we have to go through this again. But again, we don't have to watch the game. We just have to follow the statistics. And DeMar DeRozan had 25 points last game against the Miami Heat, but only 11 against Washington this past week. So kind of a risky play there, has been all season long. Jose Calderon, 17 assists in that last matchup. And we know that Washington just doesn't play a whole lot of great defense. The best value out there might be Jared Bayless or Linus Kleiza. Kleiza's went double figure points in the last two games. Bayless is definitely an aggressive player offensively, and he's been in the starting lineup. So a guy who won't cost you a ton could give you some nice value points there. The Suns head to Atlanta to take on the Hawks. Ivan Johnson has been getting more run for the Hawks, 24 and 22. That's points and rebounds over the last two games. And let's face it, Zaza Pachulia sucks. He's just terrible. So there's a chance Johnson might even become the starter before you know it. So keep your eye on him. Definitely a guy who won't cost you a whole lot, although some sites he's a little bit more expensive than others. But all in all, pretty decent player. Martin Gortat, 15 straight games in double-figure rebounds. That's the longest streak tied with Kevin Love, so he is a stud. Jared Dudley could be out again. Look for maybe Michael Redd to get the start. He had 17 points last game, and I hate to go with a guy like Michael Redd, who A, is old, and B, has had like knee surgeries every other year. But if he's getting playing time, he's not going to cost you a lot again. If you get him, and that means you can afford Blake and Dwight Howard and Kobe Bryant, then you do it. The only other note on Atlanta, Joe Johnson, 34 points the last time Phoenix came to town. So Johnson, when he's good, he's really good. But when he's bad, he's really bad. So it's kind of inconsistency with him this year. Derrick Rose and the Bulls, they head to New Jersey, and Rose is on fire, and you've got to think that he's a guy you want to put in your lineup. I think he's an absolute lock for 40 points tonight from a fantasy perspective, because Jeremy Lin lit up the Nets. That's right, Lin, some guy who pretty much came from the NBDL, goes and had led a 26-point game against the Nets. So what is a guy like Derrick Rose, the league MVP, going to do? He's just been on fire as of late anyway. So the whole offense, though, of New Jersey runs through Deron Williams. I watched that game quite a bit the other night against the Knicks, and he just makes them go. I mean, he's involved, whether it's the pick and roll, whether it's shooting jump shots. I mean, everything goes through Deron Williams. That's the kind of guy you like in daily fantasy. I love those guys. Anthony Morrow, can't believe he went for 42 points a couple of games ago. He followed it up with an 11-point game, which is more in line. But again, still fairly cheap on certain sites out there, so check his salary. And if it's in the lower tier, he's obviously getting minutes. They trust him to shoot the basketball, and a 42-point effort. Wow, that's awfully impressive. Moving on to the Knicks, they host the Jazz. And like I said, Jeremy Lin got off to a great start the other day, 26 points against New Jersey. And D'Antoni's even talking about starting him. I wouldn't expect the same results from him. Now, the bottom line is there are no real good point guards on that team. Baron Davis is the guy they expected to step in. He hasn't played. He's just been hurt. That's his story. And even though Lin has been kind of fun to watch in preseason and stuff like that, I don't think he's a long-term viable starter in this league. I think he just ran into a hot streak and a bad team. And I don't expect him to do much better against the Jazz. As for Carmelo, he's just been awful shooting every single night. Even though he's averaged 31 points over the last five against Utah, I'm just leery of playing him. It looks like he's hurt. He just is shooting the ball terribly. Like, it seems like 3 for 15 every night. Amari also had 31 points in the last game against Utah. He's been playing all right for the Knicks. But the guy I'm going to look at is Big Al Jefferson. 25 points, 10 rebounds on average in the last three against the Knicks. And also Josh Howard. He's not starting, but had a nice game against the Lakers the other day out. So he's very cheap out there, and definitely paid himself off. Moving on, the Kings and the Hornets, not an exciting game whatsoever, especially when you look at all the injuries on the Hornets. I mean, they're a bad team to begin with, but you've got Carl Landry out, Jared Jack out, Jason Smith had a concussion apparently, so there's a chance Chris Kaman could return, but I don't recommend him. He's pretty much been a nothing. They've been trying to trade him all season long. But the guy to look at is Grievous Vasquez. 36, 26, 29. Those are his fantasy points in the last three games. So he's definitely been picking up the slack. And one guy I also like is Trevor Ariza. Had a nice game the other day. And with all the injuries out there, he's got to pick up some of that scoring slack. And against a team like the Kings, who doesn't play a whole lot of defense, I think he could be a smart play. And even Al-Farouq Aminu, see what the status is with Jason Smith. If he decides not to go, Aminu might move into that starting rotation. 14-4 the last game in limited minutes. As for the Kings, you've got DeMarcus Cousins coming off a 20-20 game, and Marcus Thornton averaging 24 points over the last two games. So coming off of that injury, he seems to finally have caught his groove, and he is definitely an aggressive scorer. Spurs and Grizzlies, not a lot I'm interested in this game. Tony Parker, talk about coming off a good game. 60-point fantasy game last time out against Oklahoma City. It's tough to have those games back-to-back, especially when the Spurs head on the road where they're only 3-8 on the season. Memphis coming off a horrible game against Boston. Pretty much everyone stunk in that one. So, again, consistency, it's not really there with the Grizzlies. Even the most consistent guy, Marc Gasol, hasn't been all that consistent lately. So I will probably pass on going on that route with many players in that game. Last two games of the night, though, Rockets, they head to the Nuggets. And Nuggets pretty good at home, 7-4 on the season. Rockets 3-8 on the road. But Luis Scola and Kyle Lowry, we'll see if they kind of catch fire here. They've been struggling, but they both had 24-point games the last time out against Minnesota. I'm thinking lots of points in this one. Kevin Martin had a 1-for-10 shooting game. I think that will improve. And if you're looking for a cheap guy on the Nuggets, maybe Kostas Koufos. He's going to be pretty inexpensive salary-wise at the center position with Timofey Mozgov out, and he had 16-12 just last night. So look for Kostas Koufos maybe to give you some scoring and not cost you a whole lot of points. And the last game, and maybe the best game of the night, Thunders and the Trailblazers. Oklahoma City pretty much coming off their worst game of the year, and Kevin Durant went for 22-11. And when that's a bad game for you, that means you're a good player. That's for certain. But Durant doesn't shoot well against the Blazers. Only 32% shooting against the Blazers for his career. Nicholas Batum came off the bench for a 33-point game last game, 9-for-15 from the three-point arc. Don't count on that happening again. Don't get buy into the Nicholas Batum hype. 9-for-15 from three-point range, not likely to happen again against Oklahoma City. But the guy to look at, again, I'm looking for value plays here. It's pretty obvious to go with guys like Westbrook and Aldridge, but Daquan Cook, he is a starter, and he is still inexpensive all around out there, and he's been fairly consistent, 16, 15, 17, and 23 fantasy points in the last four games, so not a bad option. I think he's sitting at like 5K over there on Draft Street, so another guy to consider tonight. So that's the rundown of the NBA. Remember, you got plenty of places to go out there and play it, everywhere from Draft Street, FanDuel, Profanity Sports, Daily Joust, Draft Day. They're all got their NBA action for you, both in the head-to-head matchups and the tournaments and even the solo contests out there at Joust. So check them out, NBA, all across the daily fantasy landscape tonight. Time for me to take a quick second and say thank you to Daily Joust, great sponsor of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. And of course, the Solo Survivor Tournament still going on. We have, I think, four finalists going, four or five. And it's been so successful, you know, they were planning on waiting until this one ended before they started the next one. That might actually change. I was talking to the guys over there, and if you're a player over on Daily Joust, keep your eyes and ears out and check your emails, because they might actually start the second one before this one ends. Simply because, who knows when it's going to end? These guys are all good players. For them to hit one out of three solos every single night isn't that difficult, and I know that they want to keep the momentum of the Solo Survivor tournaments going, so make sure you check that out only at Daily Joust. Of course, college basketball action tonight. Make sure you head on over to Joust. Points scored. It's very simple. And that's the thing that I love about their site is even if you don't follow college basketball that much, so much information available on their site for you to play their games, whether it's hockey or college basketball. You don't have to know the sport. You can go and see the whole game logs right there on their site. So the research aspect is a lot easier at Joust than you find anywhere else. And of course, Super Joust 2, qualifications happening nightly, whether it's tournaments. And remember, highest scores per week will get you entries into that. And a huge windfall can be had in that tournament, as I can certainly attest to. So great friends of the podcast, great sponsor, we thank them. They are dailyjoust.com. I want to talk some college basketball for tonight. Again, I'm going to only discuss Joust for right now because every time I go over to FanDuel, I lose money. So you can play over there. They got a great setup. It's just tough, tough competition. I'll also talk to the guys over at Draft Street, and it looks like college basketball might be launching over there in the near future. So keep your eye out for that if you're a college basketball fan. I know they wanted to have some games up for the NCAA tournament and the conference tournament. So I think in the not-too-distant future, we might have that over on Draft Street. But right now, I'm going to talk about Joust. Again, points scored is all they go by, so it makes it very simple. Here are some guys I'm going to look at tonight. I like Andre Drummond of UConn. They take on Louisville, and Drummond's a freshman and got off to a slow start, but for the most part, he's a solid player. I mean, he's a top NBA prospect and had a rough game the last time out, only 7 points, but went for 15 and 18 before that. And his salary's only sitting at about $107,000. So I think Andre Drummond, very smart. You're going to see a lot of people go with Marquette players tonight. And why, you ask? Because they play DePaul. And DePaul doesn't play any defense. So a couple of guys on Marquette you might want to consider. Jay Crowder is almost a definite. This guy is one of their top scorers, one of their best players. And going against that defense, you can probably expect him to have a good outing. And he's only at $166,000. He's pretty much a must play because outside of the last game when he only had 4 points, which dragged his salary down, guy has gone double figures pretty much night in and night out, had a couple of 20-point games. So I think it's a fairly obvious play there. A few other guys, Vander Blue has picked up the scoring recently, and even a Jameel Wilson, two guys who don't cost over $100,000 but could give you some quality minutes. Daniel Alexander over there at Texas A&M, he is a sleeper tonight, folks. Again, Chris Middleton, his status is up in the air. Whether he plays or doesn't play, I think Alexander has done enough to actually continue to get minutes out there for Texas A&M because he's been jumping into that starting rotation in his absence. And if you look at his game log, 2 of the last 3 games, he's gone for double figures, and he's only costing $60,000. So I like him tonight on Joust for sure. And the last guy I am going to give you is Dash Harris, also on Texas A&M. He's a guy who is coming off an injury. I think it's the second or third game back, and I expect him to kind of get back in gear. Here's a guy who they need his scoring, that is for certain. And, again, he missed a few games because of injury, and I think that kind of slowed some of his scoring down. But I expect him to return against Texas tonight with a big game. So Dash Harris, again, cheap option. Lots of good options out there. Highly recommend those solos out in college basketball tonight. I think they're very doable with some of these cheap sleepers out there. So check that out, College Hoops tonight. And, again, over there, Joust, FanDuel, and DraftZone as well for your college basketball action. And with that, folks, it's time for us to say goodbye here on the podcast. We thank you for checking us out here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. Please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and certainly go to our Facebook page. And if you have any comments whatsoever, you can either leave it here on Roto Grinders. We've got a little comments page with the podcast, or just send me an email, dan@rotogrinders.com. As always, thank you again for checking us out. Have a great night in Daily Fantasy, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. See you, folks.